at the info center for you. We have a number of guests this morning. I'm going to invite them to come on up. So come ahead. We have seven speakers today. It's really exciting. I think I hinted at who's coming to worship this Sunday. So welcome. And I'm wondering if they're going to sit in their sort of school groupings. We'll see. Just yeah, that'll make actually a little easier. We've got some mics to share. So if you've been with us for the last number of weeks, you know that our theme has been Guess Who's Coming to Worship. And we've had a number of different guests with us. We began the month with Doug Fordham from the Fellowship Baptist, and he helped us think about stewardship. And really, we need to emphasize, as we're thinking about stewardship, you know, Nathan brought to our attention last week, Nathan Chapin, our board chair, reminded us, and we again have the information for you in the bulletin, that difficult financial place we were in December, God more than resolved that through your gifts. And so we're really thankful for that. We really want to celebrate that. Nathan and I are kind of like, you know, when we're down, we look like this. And then when we're up, we look like this. So, you know, we're really up, right, Nathan? Woohoo! Yeah. This is exciting stuff. So we don't want you to think we're not thankful. We had a board meeting this week, and that was very much the tone of our discussion. It was, wow, God was so gracious to us and blessed us. And it was such an exciting adventure to say, we believe that God is going to provide. We didn't know the future, right? But we believed that. And it wasn't our believing. I think that's really important. It wasn't our believing. It was God's faithfulness. And so we celebrate that. The next week we had time with our friend Heath Meikle, who is going to plant a church in East Van. And you know, connections are amazing. Last Sunday night we had really good Indian food with Salome and the big brown boy back there. And then Salome said, you should meet my brother-in-law. He's Greek. And so I thought, oh, that's it'll be interesting. And then I said, well, I've got a friend in East Van. Maybe he should meet Angelos, right? And so on Monday, I sat down to connect them online, and they're already friends. They already had coffee. So that was kind of cool to think about what God could do through that ministry in East Van, but also to think, what has God done amongst us? We're a church planted in the Albion area, and how is God moving us forward in reaching people for Christ? And then last week, we talked about marriage mentoring, and so that was an exciting conversation. We had a lovely visit with Mike and his wife and the other couple that was here last week giving their testimony, so that was very encouraging. But this morning, we're thinking about the phase of life that we've come to call young adulthood. I'm interested in the fact that it has a bit of negativity. For example, this one, adulthood. If you're not tired, you're not doing it right. Or the next one here, some of us will relate to this, what being an adult feels like. Right? It's kind of, we laugh, but these poor people are up here and are in pain about it, right? Adulthood is like losing your mom at the grocery store for the rest of your life. Well, that's getting a little more serious, a little negative. How about the next one? Legos are practice for when you get older and buy IKEA furniture, right? And I actually saw the ultimate IKEA challenge. I don't know if you saw that video online, but some guys put Lego onto a treadmill and walked along it with their socks. And I thought, what a great preparation for being a parent. That would be awesome. So it is fraught with a bit of negativity. And we go to the next slide, and I have mentioned on a few occasions, research that's come from an organization. We're a member of the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. It's a great organization across the country helping us as evangelical Christians engage with our culture. And one of the great things they've done is they produced a report called Renegotiating Faith, in which they've identified something we already knew It's hard being a young adult, eh? It's hard transitioning out of one phase of youth and into the next phase. The report reminds us as a church that we can't just say, well, we had fun with you guys as youth. I hope you enjoyed the pizza. Enjoy the rest of your life. And then just kind of send them off, right? We can't do that. It's about a journey of discipleship together all along the way. This report, there's two words that come out of this report that I really love and I think is happening here in our church, but of course it needs to happen more. And one is mentoring. The idea that disciples grow in relationship with another person, right? Disciples don't grow through programs or events, but disciples grow through relationship. Jesus showed us that. Jesus didn't hold seminars. He led disciples, right? He discipled men. And then the other word that comes out of that is community. So this morning is not just for you guys. It's really, in a way, you guys are the guinea pigs, but it's more for these guys because the call to helping these guys propel them into a meaningful future of walking with God for the rest of their life is about all of us, right? All of us as a community. And if nothing else happens today, if you guys, because of your nervousness, don't remember anything that I say today, is I want to say, we are here for you guys. Can we agree on that? Amen? We're here for you. Please never feel like, oh no, I've launched out into college or I've launched out into adulthood. What does Cornerstone have to do with that? And I hope the answer is everything, right? Everything. There are a couple of individuals in the audience here who became believers in our church. They were mentored and they grew up in Christ in our church. And now they're marrying a couple of you up here, right? So that's exciting. Are they technically young adults? I'm not sure. I see them there. And both of them a little nervous about what Salome and David are going to say up here. Okay? So, David, did you get provided with your cue cards from Candace? Okay. So, what I would like us to think a bit about today is, now, let's be honest, the journey into young adulthood doesn't always go through college or university, but in the case of these seven fine folk, that is their experience, and they have different experiences with school, and I wanted to focus today on preparing for a life of serving in whatever realm God sends them into. And so I'm going to begin by letting them introduce themselves. Let's have SFU go last because I got a really cool slide for that. So why don't we start down here and we'll just go down there. But Salome, you'll have to go last. Your name, where you go to school, and why don't you just tell us your program of study. They can be seated, I think. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
Every time you need to talk, you have to stand.
Hello. Okay, cool. So name, what school I go to, and my program?
Yeah.
Okay. So my name is Manuela, in case you didn't know. I go to Trinity Western University, and I am currently studying psychology with human services.
Cool. So my name is Julia or Juliana or Juliana, whatever you feel like calling me. And I am also at Trinity Western, and I am in education, and my minors are, I know, cool, right? My minors are biblical studies and social studies.
It's okay, Danny. You got this, buddy.
Hey, guys. So my name is Daniel. I go to Pacific Life Bible College, and I'm going to try to say the name of my course. It's not lunch, but it's live lunch, like when you're lunching something. But it's not lunch. It's like lunching something. Yeah.
My name's Rebecca. I also go to Pacific Life Bible College, and I'm also doing life lunch. So...
My name's David, and I am at Columbia Bible College and currently in biblical studies.
I'm Nathaniel, and I went to Columbia.
Okay. And you were in, what was the name of your program? Is it Quest?
Yeah.
Okay, the Quest program, the 1 year.
Yeah, I did half the year instead.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. And so SFU is also represented here today. Very inclusive school.
Okay. So I go to the non-Christian school and I go to SFU. And I am taking psychology and a minoring in education.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, I'm really glad you're here. And as you know, we're trying to think about this month, different realms of our lives, finances, marriage, and so forth, where we can make an impact in our world. So let's have a look at our mission statement again. And why don't we say it together? Cornerstone is called to impact our world by living and sharing the life of Jesus. One of the things that we learned at college was all truth is God's truth. So whether you're learning in school, whether you're learning on the job, moms, you're learning things as you're discipling your children, foremen, you're learning things as you try to disciple your crew, right? You know, we're learning all the time. And God is the source of all truth. And so I think it's so exciting that we look at education, whether it's Christian education or preparing for the world at SFU or UBC, wherever you may be. It's an opportunity to discern and understand the world that God has made and to engage in it. So I was doing some thinking, and I don't know if you can see what this is. This is my yearbook from the year I graduated from college back in the dark ages. That's when, and you know what I said to David? I said, oh yeah, when the Olympics were in Calgary, did you go to them? And I guess not in 1988, right? But I read what our class advisor wrote for our class in our yearbook. Now, he was also a very personal mentor to me and passed away actually suddenly from a heart problem just a couple years after we graduated. So I felt that loss quite a bit, but he made a big impact on my life. And he says this, he wrote this, "Dear seniors, what can we say? It seems like only yesterday that you arrived. From freshmen who had all the answers but weren't sure of the questions, you are now seniors who have lots of questions but are not so sure about all the answers. You've discovered the source of truth and know that his resources are available and adequate to meet your every need." He goes on to say, "If we believe in an incarnational theology, in other words, that Jesus came and lived among us and walked among us, then let us practice an incarnational psychology, identifying and involving ourselves deeply in the lives of people. Love for God because of what he has done for us in Jesus Christ, or its parallel, love for Christ for fulfilling the will of his Father, must always be our motive for ministry. The Apostle Paul said it best, Christ's love compels us. May you always be compelled by his love." And that was the theme of our graduation, was compelled by his love. And what I appreciated about reading that was, I honestly don't remember reading that before, you know, this week. And I thought, wow, maybe it didn't have such an impact on me because I was needing people to get deeply involved in my life. And lots of people have over the years. And now I'm discovering it's an amazing privilege to be deeply involved in the lives of people like yourselves. Finding out what your dreams are, your desires, your goals. Maybe giving you too much information, too much advice, but really deeply wanting to contribute into what you're doing. This past fall, I did something. I'm so glad I did it. It was so much fun. I went on the pastor's college tour. I started at Pacific Life Bible College, and I had lunch with the launch students. And we went to chapel, and that was pretty exciting chapel. I was a little out of my element. What are those things with the streamers or the those guns that shoot off the confetti and stuff? It really enhances the worship. And so that was awesome. That was awesome. And then I went to Trinity Western Seminary. I did go to Trinity Western Seminary. I went to the university, and I told the Silva sisters, I said, if anybody wonders why this old guy is hanging around with you on campus, just say it's grandparents' day or something like that. So we also got to go to chapel together. So that was really awesome. And it was Breathe, I think, was the theme of that chapel. And we did a really cool thing where we wrote a need in our life, and we laid it at the cross, right? And it was really, really powerful. And then just before Advent, I went to Columbia Bible College, and I caught up with Nathaniel. David wasn't at chapel that day. And but Nathaniel and I got a blessing. And it was a really powerful time. In each of these places, if I could say, what was the one thing I came away with? I really sense there are young people, these are among them, who really want to connect with God. You know? We get negative. Have you noticed that people our age get a little cynical? Don't
yes.
get...
Yes. Yes.
Thanks, David. David lives at our house on the weekends, so he's picked up on Lana's cynicism. But, you know, we do get cynical. Oh, you know, are they learning the lessons and so forth? But you know what? What I saw, and of course I wasn't able to visit Salome and connect with her at her setting, but in those places, I really sense there's young people who really want to know God. They want to follow God. They want to meet God. They want to have their relationship with God make sense in the direction that they're going in their lives. So I just want you to share a little bit about that. I've got some questions, and now is the time for you to pray the student's prayer. Do you know the student's prayer? Oh, when you sit down to take the test, oh Lord, help me to remember the things I should have studied. So this is a free-for-all. However, whoever wants to answer, obviously we're not going to have enough time for everybody to answer every question, but somebody want to start off, how did God lead you to your school? Why do you think God wanted you to go to your school?
Okay, I'll start. So last year I was at Columbia Bible College, and I really wanted to go back to CBC. I'd really enjoyed my time there. But over the summer I was like really praying and trying to figure out where I felt God was calling me in the future. So Trinity kept coming up, and it was something that I talked to my parents a lot about and family and friends. And just like looking towards the future where I felt like God was calling me towards, which drew me towards Trinity, wanting to be a teacher. I would especially love to work overseas as a teacher, possibly go back to Columbia, and just realizing that Trinity is my best option for that, to get properly educated, because a lot of organizations require you to be a certified teacher in order to go and work with them. So that's what led me to Trinity, and I've really enjoyed my time there so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody from Pacific Life will want to tell us why they went there.
I should give it to you. No,
right. I know Rebecca prepared, so.
So I knew I wanted to go to Bible college. I felt like there was a lot more I needed to learn, and as a young adult going out into the world, I felt like I really needed to establish my faith and decide what I did believe in. It was just a kind of a matter of what Bible college did I want to go to. I chose Pacific Life Bible College because it allowed me to stay at home, and that was also something financially that benefited me. And then I originally was going to go to a different Bible college, which sounded great, and I think it would have been great if I had gone there. But I didn't feel at peace about it. I felt an unease. So I talked to my parents, and we prayed about it, and it kind of led me to Pacific Life Bible College, and everything kind of fell into place. So that's why I chose to go there.
Very good, very good. Maybe I'll pick on you, Salome. I mean, a lot of places where you could learn to be a teacher and some of those skills.
Yeah.
You know, what led you to SFU?
Honestly, there was no particular reason. It was just I wanted to take psychology. And so, like, my high school just had, like, Trinity Western. They came up and, like, gave a presentation, and we had to choose what school we wanted to go to. But I think there was no reason. It's just... I applied, and I got accepted, and that's
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah. And then I think also that you like the commute from Surrey to Burnaby.
No, I hate the commute.
Okay. David, I don't know if you want to comment.
Sure. I think what led me to Columbia was more in this whole trying to get into the Immerse program at Northwest Baptist Seminary. They kind of told me, you know, come spend a year in the Lower Mainland and go to school. It doesn't have to be a Bible school. It can go to some secular school even. And for myself, I guess in picking Columbia I wanted more of that. I had a hunger for more biblical knowledge to understand the Bible and how to interpret it. And so for me to just go to any secular school for the sake of just getting more credits was something that I wasn't going to put the energy into. So this was something that excited me. So,
well, very good. And I want to emphasize, these guys and gals aren't—they don't have everything figured out, right? You're on a journey. This is—they're on their way, and we want to encourage you on your way. But I think that God is doing something in your life. I know God is doing something in your lives, and so I want you to share with the congregation. You know, what's something encouraging? Could be encouraging. Could be challenging. Could be even discouraging. But you've learned in your relationship with God through that experience at school. Do you want to share with us something? What's been encouraging, challenging?
Cool. Something that I have been learning this past year is I am like my father, and I like to do a million things. And I am very, very busy, and I love education, and I love learning. But something that has been a little bit discouraging is how tired I've been getting this last year and just being very, like, I don't know how to say it, like burning out in some sense because I'm doing a lot. But it has been really encouraging at the same time of how much God has been speaking into my life to find rest and how much he's been, like, providing those opportunities and providing people for me through Trinity, through the church that have come alongside me and have told me that I need to rest and different ways of finding that. And even, like, through that finding, like, sorry, I'm talking a lot. But just, like, since the beginning of January, like, a theme that I feel like God has been speaking to me is allowing myself to be loved by him and by people around me and not just being focused on, like, my education and doing this. And, like, I'm very much a to-do list person, and I like checking things off, but of just allowing myself to rest and to feel his love. And so that has been something that God has been doing. Like, it's kind of related to school, but kind of like in the community that I'm in that I've found.
Somebody else, something you've learned in school or through the experience. Yeah.
Okay, so one time one of my teachers came into class and he said something that got into my heart, and he was like, "We doubt in the darkness what we are told in the light." And it's so true, because it's very discouraging when you're going through really bad stuff and everybody's telling you, oh, God is with you, but do you never see God in you, with you in those moments? And, like, all of a sudden, the lights goes on and God is like, I was with you the whole time. I told you not to worry. What were you worrying? It's like sometimes you, as a student who thinks knows everything, because, like, we're teenage, like, we're young adults, we know everything. So, like, watching God turning the light on and being like, hey, I'm like right beside you, I'm guiding you, I'm holding your hand. I'm like, wow, it's so encouraging knowing that actually someone is with me when the light is off at the same time as I'm walking, you know? I don't know if I made myself clear, but like, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Oh, very good. I want to pick on Nathaniel because you had some experiences in the Quest program that were sort of out of the classroom. Sailing, I believe.
Oh, spelunking.
Tell us, I mean, what were some of the things you learned out of the classroom?
How to have fun.
Okay.
I don't really know. It's just a lot of time just to connect with people is what I did.
So feeling that sense of community?
Yeah, it's just we got closer together.
And tell us, how many were in the Quest program at once?
25.
Okay. And so you can appreciate if you're in a group, you know, at SFU, how many thousands and thousands and thousands of students, whereas if you're in Quest and you're going on these adventures together, And you're holding each other with ropes, literally, right? You get, there's a deep sense of community that can really grow. And Juliana, you experienced that same program, right?
Yeah,
so, yeah. Very good.
Cool.
Very good. Somebody else, something that God has been teaching you through your education journey.
Yeah, so I think something God's been teaching me over the last couple of years, or year and a half, I guess, is his never-ending grace for myself. And I think that for myself, I very much place value on how well I can do things. So if life is going well and I'm doing things well, then I'm worthy of love and I'm worthy of all those other things. But when I mess up or when things don't go as I planned, like my character, my value, really, that takes a toll on it. And something that God's been teaching me, and I think that has really, like, I've understood in my heart a lot better this year, is that God has never-ending grace and love for me, regardless on how well I can do things. And it's been really cool to see how that impacts everything else, because when I'm not placing my value on how well I do things, I can, A, enjoy them and find that I, B, and do them better. And it's been really cool. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So still on the theme of learning, but I wonder if you could tell us about some extracurricular things, if you're involved in leadership or other learning opportunities. Salome, I know we've talked a lot about your practicums and you know, a lot to learn there. What are some outside of the classroom experiences, and how is God teaching you through those things?
So I'm not really involved outside of a classroom with my school. They do have like Christian like community like activities and stuff, but it's so far away that I just go home right after class. Before I was coming to this church, I was involved in my other church, and I used to volunteer with the kids, and I think it's really important to be connected, because I do go to SFU, and they don't really have much of like a Christian-based education, that it's just like, it was important for me to have something outside of school to be connected to, so I was really involved in like the kids ministry and all that stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And take note of that kids ministry. There. Okay.
Yeah. Very good. She's made a mistake.
Very good. Other opportunities for leadership or growth, or and maybe this is a good opportunity too. Some of you are going on mission trips, and I wanted each of you to tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So for leadership, I'm actually at leadership at Trinity Western. So I work as a mentor at Trinity. So for Huli is going on a mission trip, and I train people who are wanting to lead mission trips through Trinity, so just through mentorship, before they go away and then while they're away. So that's kind of the only thing I'm doing for leadership on Trinity right now. And then my opportunity. So some of you may know, some of you may not know, but I am going away for 3.5 months in the summer. So I'm going to Bolivia. I'm going to be working in a transition home for kids. So kids who have either been abused, parents have decided to give them for adoption, or they've been taken away from their parents. And it's a home where kids can stay up to 4 months while the government figures out what they're going to do, and whether they're going to go to other family members or if they're going to go to like a long-term orphanage. And I'm going to be working as like a counselor there. So they're giving me the opportunity to like put into practice what I'm doing for schooling. So that is my opportunity for the summer.
Yeah, as Manuel mentioned, I am also going on a mission trip to Bolivia. Different places will be on opposite sides of the country. But yeah, so I'm co-leading a trip with another student at Trinity, and we're leading a trip to it's out right outside the city of Cochabamba, and we're going to be working in camp and adventure ministry, which I'm really excited about. But it's been a really cool opportunity. It's definitely pushed me already in outside of my comfort zone in some senses, and other senses it's been really comfortable. But it's been really, really cool, and I've appreciated the prayer and support I've gotten so far from you guys.
So the two of us, we're going to Costa Rica with our program at Pacific Life Bible College. We're going to go for 2 weeks, and we're going to go to this town that is called La Lucha, which in English is like the fight. And this town, city, call it however you want it, has been forgotten by the government, so we don't have a way to get there by plane, so we got to go take a plane and then, like, on a car for a couple hours, and we got to go, like, get into the jungle and, like, build community with the people living there. So, like, building places and, like, stuff like that.
Very good.
Anything else?
And I don't know, one of the things about the trip that I was kind of excited about is our teacher's been 14 times, so he knows the community really well. He knows the people well. Because in high school I took global education, and we talked about kind of the impact of aid done poorly, and aid where it seems to benefit the people going more than the people that are being served. And that was really important to me, because when you're going to serve a community, it shouldn't be done selfishly for your own gain or, like, the experience of it or to feel better, like you somehow helped more unfortunate people, which is not the case. Like, I'm going with the hope to learn from them, and what can these people there teach me about God and about myself, because I think they have so much to offer our team as well.
So I'm going to I'll let the other three share just some prayer requests. While they're doing, I'm going to invite mums and dads that are represented here. So if you've got a child up here, mums and dads, come ahead. And why don't we include the fiancés as well? Come. And why don't we gather around? Because we've heard about the missions trips, but why don't the other three of you just share? How can we pray for you guys in this journey? And then I'm going to ask two of you, one parent and one fiancé, to pray for these guys.
Okay, so I'm graduating in June, and I don't know what my next steps are, so I would love prayers, like, in that area. Well, I don't know where God's leading me, and yeah.
For myself, the Immerse, I guess, journey has continued, and looking forward to now, I guess, coming in June of doing my assessment, and yeah, so just prayer that God would prepare myself for that, and yeah, as well would be done.
Okay. Just to figure out what I want to do next, I guess that's it, yeah.
Okay. So pass the mics back, and we'll have one parent and one. Okay, we know which fiancé. And just pray a prayer of blessing on these awesome young adults.
Heavenly Father, we just come, and we thank you for each young person here. We thank you for the way that you have led and guided them. We thank you for their love for you and their desire to know you, their desire to serve you, their desire to impact the world around them, and the people that come into their lives. We ask for a special blessing on them. We pray, Lord, that they would see you, that they would hear your voice, even in the quiet whispers, that they would step forward into the various mission trips, into areas maybe of real uncertainty. We pray that you would make it clear and obvious, and that they would go forward in peace, in confidence, and that you would just do a mighty work in them and through them, and that others would come to know you as their own Lord and Savior. And so we do commit them to you. We thank you for them. And may you just place your hedge of protection totally around them and use them in mighty ways for you.
Yeah, God, I pray, Lord, that, you know, at this time in life, it's always tough, you know, going to school and about to graduate or not sure what they want to do with their lives after the graduation, or it could be that the school wasn't right for them, God. I just pray that you show them the path, Lord. Show them your love, your grace, that no matter what they do, Lord, that they're going to be loved by you, through the church, through the people around them, Lord.
Seats. And Guy's just going to tell us a real quick testimony, because I think we're looking down the road, but Guy has got a bit of a testimony that he shared with me a few weeks back of a young adult that has gotten back in touch with him.
So for those of you that don't know, I'm the scientist in this group that the pastor keeps referring to. My background, my grandfather invented the walkie-talkie just prior to World War II. He had 56 patents to his name. I've gone on to kind of follow in his footsteps, but I did so without any kind of post-secondary schooling, very similar to my grandfather. And only now am I getting recognized as an expert out there. So I've consulted for the deputy director of NASA. I've worked with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory as their expert on air ions. So I have a bit of expertise out there in a number of areas. And what I wanted to show the youth through the years of working with the youth group was science is really biased, especially as we kind of progress forward into trying to pull God out of the picture. And what I wanted to show them was that God is fully integrated in the picture. The science is actually showing us God, not denying God out there. And so that was my gifting that I have, and that's what I tried to pass on to the youth. But sometimes you run into individuals in the youth group that are quite difficult to deal with. And when I say the name Jake Banbury, the youth probably recognize that he was a difficult kid. And I wanted a few times to give up on him. And I didn't. I was talked out of it. Other things occurred. But Jake now is going to a university in Texas, a Christian university. His mother says he's a completely changed person. And he sent me this book, which is it's called The Evolution of a Creationist. And it's based on a scientist who was an evolutionary biologist who's since become a Christian and saw all these evidences. So Jake wrote in the front of this book to Guy, Job Martin was the guest speaker at my school last week, and the whole time I was reminded of you and your scientific view on God, which was positive. And this is his book, and I wanted you to have it. Thanks for being a great youth leader, Jake. So this is completely unexpected by me. And I think it's a win to look back at the sacrifices that we all make as youth leaders and see that the time and effort paid off in that one individual. And I can look at all these faces up here and go, yes, I played a small part in what I did there. God used me to plant whatever seed I had with those individuals. And we all have something that we can give to these kids. Some of the youth know that I still deal with John Jansen on a monthly basis. I still disciple him. And we talk about God all the time. He doesn't go to church anymore, but he's still influencing his friends and family out there. And just because someone doesn't go to church doesn't mean you don't deal with them, right? We can get through to those people sometimes more so than we can get through to the family in this room. So I just want to encourage you all that even the smallest little things that we do can have a big impact on kids and on other adults around us.
This one work? Cool. Okay, I'm probably going to cry. I'm so sorry. I think all of us as young adults can say a huge thank you to Mr. Kramer, because our youth group has gone through a whole lot of ups and downs. But like, his testimony about Jake is huge. We saw a huge amount of change in Jake this last year. But Mr. Kramer was very consistent with all of us. He was that person that showed up every single week despite anything that was going on in our lives or his life, which is a huge thing for you guys to know as well. That's what we value, and that's what's important to us, is that consistency, even if it's not a regular conversation, even if it's not you're telling us the most profound things. But it's that consistency of showing up in our lives that is huge. So thank you.
Please feel free to stand and sing with us.